Without any further ado, Eric Pearson, come on up. Going to be delivering the message today for us. And I'll resume back next week on a new series on heaven on earth. So let's give it up for Eric Pearson.
Set the bar too high.
Yeah. Let's pray. Let's pray for Eric as he deliver God's word. We take this very seriously, by the way. This is a sacred task. He's been tasked to do this and well prepared. I read through his sermon. And I'm so proud of you from where you were to where you are and what you're doing now for us as an elder. And I can't be more proud to be your pastor, but also to be your friend as well. And you are my boss. So here we go. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your love and your grace. And you take us to such a place that we never thought we would be able to do, is to preach, to share, to take on this sacred task, to be behind the pulpit, to open your words, God. God, we give you all the glory. We thank you for continuing blessing us with many talents and people here in this little community. We pray for Eric today. Please speak through him. Holy Spirit, make your son known. In the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless.
Morning, church.
Morning.
All right. So I did say to New for somebody to let me know if it's not going well, and we'll say grace and eat early. But what he didn't tell you was that was in response to the advice he gave me, which was a two-word piece of advice. It said, don't suck. So I say that to say that I hope this doesn't suck. So I think we've got a good spot to be in today. New's been wrapping up last week about gratitude, and as we transition into the holiday season. So I want to talk about being an influencer for Christ and not being influenced. And where I got this idea was just something my wife and I say to our kids, and specifically to Caitlin. We ask her, be an influencer. Don't be influenced. So that's where I got it. So hi, Caitlin, Priscilla. Dylan's out there, too. So here we go. So who knows somebody who's been a bad influence? Who's been that person? Who's been the bad influence? Exactly. We all have. So I have, sometimes use the expression, we have to ask for forgiveness instead of permission sometimes. So sometimes things get away from us and we're a bad influence. Who remembers the question? Who's ever heard this question? Well, if your friends were going to jump off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge too? Maybe you heard the cliff version. But that's what I heard that a bunch when I was growing up. And usually that was, mom and dad saying something in response to us asking for permission to go do something, or we've already done it and it didn't go well, and so now we're being lectured and, kind of getting the guilt trip, or, just hearing about what a bad idea it was. And so, I've been there, lived through plenty of bad ideas. Some of the things I remember growing up were, stuffing six or eight people in the back of a pickup truck to get on I-64 to go to the beach, which is roughly the equivalent of I-95 here, big highway, bad idea. Switching drivers at stoplights, and family story on this one, surfing like Teen Wolf style on the top of a van, not good ideas. So it just got me thinking, better to be an influencer than to be influenced. So then transition to today. What do we have today? The internet, social media. Everybody wants to be an influencer. How many followers do you have? How can you influence people? So I see, everybody's got an opinion. How to cook, what diet you should be following, what color to paint your walls to get the best light on your east-facing bedroom that gets, kind of crazy. So I was looking at the internet. I'm not a big social media guy, So I was looking, and, you know, the internet tells me, you know, David Beckham and Mr. Beast and the Kardashians are these influencers with huge number of followers. So I thought I'd ask my son Dylan. So who's your favorite influencer? So he said, David Goggins. I didn't know who David Goggins was. So I have to look him up. I Googled him. That's also become one of my favorite verbs. Googled. Go Google it. I Googled it. This is what I got. So I Googled David Goggins. Well, it turns out he's a pretty cool guy. So he was a Navy SEAL, you know, a retired Navy SEAL who became, you know, an endurance athlete, an ultramarathoner, triathlete. But then he became a motivational speaker and an author. So he promotes, you know, positivity, overcoming the odds, defeating self-doubt, overcoming negative influences. So Dylan, pretty good choice, man. I like where you were going with that. So good job. But for all the David Goggins out there, you know, there's just numerous people that are just trying to peddle their influence in a negative way, you know, spewing hatred, get-rich-quick schemes, even how to get away with crimes. And so that's what, you know, people are spreading influence about, you know, on the internet these days. So I just wanted to take a minute and share a positive influential story. So they weren't referenced largely in the Bible, but I'm going to talk about Lois and Eunice. So Lois and Eunice were a mother and daughter who lived about 2,000 years ago, shortly, you know, after the time of Christ, in the time of early Christianity. So shortly after Jesus' crucifixion. So Christianity was starting to spread, but it wasn't prominent yet. So idol worship was still rampant and happening. Roman soldiers were everywhere. You know, Christians were being persecuted, you know, kind of all over the place. So Lois was the mother of Eunice. So Eunice was a strong Jewish woman raised in the faith. So her mother instilled that in her. But she became a Christian through her beliefs, through hearing the word, and through her faith. So, of course, Lois was instrumental in Eunice's becoming a Christian. So they did that together. But they were strong in the old law, and that helped them open the door to their salvation through Christ. Now, Eunice was married to a Greek man. So they had a son named Timothy. Timothy would go on to be a student and disciple of Paul. So we all know Paul. He wrote much of the New Testament. So Paul thought a lot of Timothy, you know, so much so that he entrusted him to become the pastor of Ephesus. So the books of Timothy, the two books of Timothy near the end of the New Testament, were written to this specific Timothy, the son of Eunice. So, but of course, Timothy didn't become who he became, you know, by himself. He was given a strong foundation in faith, you know, from his mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. So they were influential in teaching him and giving him a spiritual upbringing. It was a difficult upbringing, especially from a spiritual standpoint, you know, going back to the fact that his father was a Greek man. So being Greek, he was not involved at all in Timothy's spiritual upbringing. It's almost as if Eunice was raising Timothy as a single mom, what we could compare that to today. The husband was around, but he was not involved. But at the end of the day, through their faith, Eunice and Lois instilled in Timothy, you know, a strong foundation in his faith and in Christ. And so he was therefore able to take that, you know, study with Paul, learn from Paul, and went on to become a very, very well thought of, you know, pastor that Paul revered. So just a few things we can learn from Lois and Eunice. Have real faith. These women trusted the Lord, and their trust in the Lord carried through all of the difficulties that they were encountering at the time. And so they were able to instill their faith into Timothy. Teach your kids the scriptures from a young age. Again, bring your kids to church. Read with them. Pray with them. Don't let circumstances stop you. So don't let hurdles get in the way. You can overcome them. So we see that with Lois and Eunice having to overcome raising Timothy without much help from a father. And lastly, I just want to focus, grandparents play an important role. It's not just one parent or two parents. It's the whole family. The whole family comes together to raise children and influence the way that they're brought up. So I believe that everyone is equipped with the ability to influence others. Not all of us use our influence for good all the time, though. Sometimes we don't use our abilities at all. So I ask, how will you take responsibility to use the gifts that God has given you? What can we do in our lives to be a good influencer for Christ? I'm going to ask everybody to stand as we read the Word of God. I'm only going to make you stand once. So, how can we influence people for Christ? From Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. You may be seated. So how can we influence people for Christ? The first thing we can do is to live. Let your light shine before people and be a spirit-empowered witness. I'm going to read from Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So how do we live every day? Read your Bible. Receive the Word of God in your heart. Let it comfort you, guide you, correct you, encourage you. Attend church regularly. Be around the people that will be a good influence on you. Learn the secret of prayer. Maybe it's not even that secret. But every prayer gets answered. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Maybe the answer is wait. But the prayer gets answered. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit take over the choices and decisions in your life. Resist temptation. Let Christ, through the Holy Spirit, do the fighting for you. Live graciously under your circumstances. Be content with what you have. We've heard this here. I have enough. I have enough. Be a wholesome Christian. Be an example as an obedient, witnessing Christian. The second thing we can do is love. Love your neighbor. Be a servant. Build relationships. From Matthew 22. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. So I say, be accepting of one another. Respect our differences. Enjoy the commonalities you find with each other. Care for one another. Serve each other. Build each other up. Take on someone's burden. Simply be kind. And most importantly, be forgiving. The third thing that we can do to be a good influencer for Christ, pray. Ask God for divine appointments to wisely and graciously speak the message. From Colossians 4:1-6. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So what should we pray for? I think first, be thankful for what we have. I think we sometimes forget to be grateful for the blessings that we have and tend to focus on what we don't have or what we think we need. Pray with people, not just for people, but pray with them. Teach your children how to pray. Pray with them daily. Ask God for guidance, patience, wisdom, and strength. The fourth thing I think we can do to influence people for Christ is invite. Invite people to a place where they can meet Jesus. From Mark 2, 13 through 17. Once again, Jesus went outside beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with the tax collectors and the sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." So what comes to mind where we can invite someone to meet Jesus? Where do we invite them? To church, that's right. So it seems easy to invite family and friends. Of course, invite your neighbors. Bring your out-of-town guests. Youth group, young adults, bring your friends. Bring lots of them. I hope we have guests for potluck today. I'll take a quick second. The very first time I attended Connected Life was 4 years ago on international potluck. Had no clue that this was happening. So we'd been in town about 2 months. Our kids were going to school at J.C. Mitchell right over there. And so we were passing the church. We'd attended a couple churches in the area. We're coming over here twice a day. All right, let's go there. So we came here on a Sunday morning. I got to say it. New comes up to me. "Hey, I'm new." I'd been here 2 minutes, right? "Hey, so am I." You know. So that's how I met New. But so we stayed. And we probably stayed till 1 o'clock, 1:30 that day. But the feeling that I got from being in church, being at this church on potluck day, the very first time we were here, we knew we were here. It hit us as a family so strongly that we knew this was our new church. And so we've continued to grow, and we love this church, so just let me say that. But I'll also say, don't be afraid to invite somebody you don't know well to church. You never know who needs a prayer, who needs some guidance, who needs some love, who just needs a hand reached out. So maybe we can be the beacon of light for that person. I do think this church does a good job with being disciples and bringing our friends and associates in. And I will take a second to remind everybody, we do have visitor cards. So please take a set of visitor cards and pass them around. And we have, I wish I had it with me, the mug when you have new neighbors come in or just need an opening to meet somebody. So we have tools for you. So please keep that in mind. The fifth thing I think we can do to be a good influencer for Christ is share. So next slide, please. All right. So share. Take the initiative to tell people your story and Christ's story, and then leave the results with God. From Mark 16, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So things to think about. How did Jesus enter your heart? How has your relationship with God helped you? Think about times you've felt the Holy Spirit. Think about times you've experienced God's grace. Why do you love your church? I think these are things we can share with someone to try to be an influencer for Christ. The next thing I have is to answer. Be prepared to give an answer to any questions or objections people have to the gospel. 1 Peter 3:15 and 16 reads, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." Be prepared to explain what you believe, why you believe it. Tell your experience of how you were saved, where you will spend eternity. But do these things with respect to non-believers so that your character still shows in a Christ-like manner. The seventh thing that we can do to be a good influence for Christ is follow up. Build an ongoing relationship to encourage and mentor people in the faith. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So there's a generally recognized concept when you're learning a foreign language that you need to hear something an average of 12 times before it becomes completely ingrained in your mind and you fully grasp the term or the phrase or the concept. So repetition is important, and it's what allows us to learn and grow. So with that, the experience of going to church or being part of a church, it's not just the time that we're here on Sunday. It's not just today. Develop relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Stronger relationships build a stronger church. So we can accomplish more for the Lord if we work together. So I've been in church most of my life, but never before connected life have I been so involved and felt so connected. So years and years ago, I was that guy, some of you probably know what I'm talking about. I'd sit in the back pew or near the end, near the back, and try to get out as soon as the service was over. And, I enjoyed the service, but I probably didn't get everything I should have gotten out of it. I wasn't fully engaged. But whose fault is that? That was my fault. And so we've all heard the expression, you only get out what you put in. So I say that to say today I'm blessed to be part of this church and have the relationships that I've been able to develop and to see the people that we've been able to help. So being part of this church family has not only provided me with friends and a great support system, but has allowed me the chance, the opportunity to serve and grow in my walk with Christ. So teach others by sharing our experiences and what we've learned from both our successes and our failures. Think about what have you gone through that could benefit someone else. So I say pray for and pray with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So if the band would come forward, I would appreciate it. you guys. So as I close, I just wanted to share a quick word of how I've been influenced here at Connected Life. All of the elders just completely welcomed me with open arms into the group of elders, even though I had reservations about being part of the group. To be honest, I didn't feel worthy. I didn't think I was good enough to be part of the group, and, you know, certainly 2 years later to be here. But I was told first by New and then by everyone else, none of us are worthy. And that's why it's God's grace. God's grace is given to us even though we're sinners, and we're going to continue to sin. But it's by God's grace that we're saved and that we're able to be here today. I was also taught that we all have individual strengths to be used for His purpose. So I say thank you to the elders for your guidance and your influence on me. Special thanks to Errol for praying with me, praying for me, and giving me the encouragement and the inspiration to be up here today. Hopefully I haven't sucked, and if I have, New will be back up here next week. But just as I finish up, I'll just revisit how we can be influencers for Christ. We live, let your actions speak. Love God, love your neighbor. And we pray, we put things in God's hands. We invite people to church. We share our story and God's story. We answer objections and questions that we receive from non-believers. And we follow up by building ongoing relationships to encourage and mentor people in the faith. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the Bible. I ask today that you allow us to leave this place, but leave it with you in our hearts and in our minds, and allow us to be good influencers for you, to strive to bring people to Christ, and to attempt to walk away from our sins. We ask these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.